Our Bibles again to Hebrews 7. As I said, this chapter is a bit longer than our other studies, but I'll try to group the verses around the main point found in that particular section. Actually, you could preach an entire message from just one verse or one single sentence, because this is not the word of men, it's the word of God. But here in chapter 7 of Hebrews, there's a particular subject dealt with. And that subject is the excellency and superiority of the priesthood of our Lord over the priesthood of Aaron and the sons of Levi. That's what this is all about. And it begins in verse 1 of Hebrews 7. We have a great high priest, the sons of Aaron and the sons of Levi are types and pictures of Christ, but he's so infinitely superior to them, so infinitely more excellent than they, that they cannot adequately portray him. God's got to set forth someone who can. Now watch verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness. This is Melchizedek. After that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now listen. Without father, without mother, without pedigree, without a family tree, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now let's go back to Genesis 14 and read about this incident. Now, when did Melchizedek appear? Well, he appeared before God gave the ceremonial law to Moses on Mount Sinai. This is back, he appeared to Abraham. This is before Moses was born. This was when the whole nation of Israel consisted of one man, Abraham, one person. And Isaac and Jacob and Moses, no, they've never been born. There was no Levitical priesthood or tabernacle or ceremony or mercy seat or ark or tables of the law. This was before the plans for the tabernacle were ever set forth. This is before God ever defined the priesthood to Moses and Aaron. Genesis 14, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveth, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of peace, king of righteousness, brought forth bread and wine. Now here's a priest of the Most High God, who meets Abraham, and this is the days of sacrifices. This is the days before Christ came. This is in the day without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without a lamb, there's no approach to God. Isaac said, where's the lamb? Here's a priest who meets Abraham and blesses him with bread and wine. No lamb, no altar, no sacrifice. I'll tell you why, because he's the sacrifice. And he's the lamb, and he's the altar. That's who he is. He blesses Abraham. That's important there. And he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Now, verse 4, here's the key to this whole thing. Now, you consider, think, meditate. Consider how great, how special, how excellent this man, this Melchizedek, this king of righteousness, king of peace, priest of the Most High God, consider how great he is. You Jews, you Hebrews, this is the book to the Hebrews. You Jews and Hebrews and all that are of the law and all who have been brought up under the law and under the priesthood of Aaron and his sons, I want you to consider how great is our high priest. We have a great high priest. We have a priest. We have a priest. I want you to consider how great he is. Now, here's how great he is. Listen. And verily, verse 5, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Let's read about this tithes business. When Moses set forth the tabernacle and the sacrifices and the law and the priesthood, all these things, the 12 tribes, God set apart the tribe of Levi. That's the priesthood. And all the tribes, they owned property. The land was divided among the tribes, except the tribe of Levi. They had no property. They had no inheritance. They had no land. That one tribe out of the 12, they were ordained in things pertaining to God. They erected the tabernacle. They built the tabernacle. They went about the services of the tabernacle. They moved the tabernacle. They carried the altars and all these things. They did the sacrificing. They served as priests. That one tribe out of the 12 served as priests. How did they live? How did they survive? They didn't grow crops and these things. The tithe, the 10%. Now listen to it in Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. That's why people gave the tithes. That's when God says, bring you the tithes into the storehouse. He wasn't talking to you. He's talking to Israel. Because there were 12 tribes, and one of them, one tribe was the tribe of Levi, the sons of Levi. They were the priests. You see, none of the other 11 tribes offered sacrifices or came into the tabernacle or went about into these things. It was the sons of Levi. And they were supported. Let's read it. Numbers chapter 18, beginning with verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I'm your part. I'm your inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I've given the children of Levi the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. Don't you come. The other 11 tribes, don't come to the tabernacle. Don't come inside. Don't offer a sacrifice. Don't bring a blood offering. Don't do it. The priest does all that. They take care of every bit of that. Every bit of it. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they'll have no inheritance. They'll have no support from their own hands. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I've given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Now, this Melchizedek, he met Abraham. And it says here, in verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. Here, Paul is saying that these priests, this tribe of Levi, they serve God in things pertaining to God. They represent the people. They go to people from God. They go to God from the people. They sacrifice the turtle doves and the lambs and the goats and the bullocks, and they take care of the temple and the tabernacle and all these things. That's their business. And they're supported by these people who pay the tithes. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that these people not be in need. But what he's saying here is Melchizedek is so great and so superior to them that Abraham and the sons of Levi paid tithes to him, to Melchizedek. Verse 7 says, without contradiction, the less is blessed to the better, isn't it? So the sons of Levi and Aaron, who one time were the high priest was the high priest. The high priest was the man who went before God once a year. Even Moses didn't do this. Even David didn't do this. Even Solomon didn't do this. But once a year, the high priest would take the blood from the altar, slip under the veil, and go into the very presence of God, the Shekinah glory between the cherubims over the mercy seat, and there just him and God would offer a sacrifice. God would accept it as a picture of Christ. Now, that blood of that animal didn't put away sin. That was Christ. But that was serious. That was the most serious, most awesome, most holy place and presence and act once a year, the atonement. But that fella paid tithes to Melchizedek. Isn't that what he's saying, Cecil? Isn't that what sums this up? That fella, Aaron, and all his sons, to whom the Israelites bowed and scraped, brought tithes, waited on them to go take their place and go before them, go before God and represent them, standing out there waiting to see if he came out. He is inferior to Melchizedek. Now you consider how great this man is. Woo! Verse 8 says, here men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them who lives forever. And that's the reason I don't preach tithing, because I'm not a son of Levi. I'm not a priest. You see, the whole law has changed. The whole law has changed. You can't keep part of it. You can't keep part. You don't go by part of this law. Let's read on here. Listen. Verse 9, and as I may say, so say Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his daddy when Melchizedek met him. When Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, the whole Jewish nation was in Abraham. They all came from Isaac. And I'll tell you, when Christ offered his blood, when Christ appeared before the Father, we were all in him, in his loins. That's right. Oh, boy, I tell you, substitution. Now, let's look carefully at this. If, therefore, perfection was by the Levitical priesthood, for these people, under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest? That another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron. Paul is saying here, if men could be redeemed under that old priesthood with its Sabbath days and with its tithes and with its laws and with its sacrifices and all these things, why did God reveal another priest? That's exactly what he said. Why did God reveal another priest after the order of Melchizedek? Verse 12, now for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the whole law. When Jesus Christ is revealed and came to this earth and died on that cross and went into the presence of God with his blood, that did away with the earthly priesthood, with the temple, with the tabernacle, with the sacrifices, with the mercy seat, with the Ark of the Covenant, with the Sabbath days, with the tithe, with the sons of Levi, with the tribe separate that has no land, no support, no inheritance. It did away with the earthly priesthood 100%. Don't go. These folks down the road here that have that priest, That's wrong. That's wrong. Everybody in here is saved as a priest. And he's our high priest. And these folks that are keeping Saturday, I don't care whether they're Seventh-day Adventist or Seventh-day Baptist, it's done away with in Christ. And people that take their income and set aside by law, requirement, a tenth, you're doing wrong. I'm telling you, that's not the motivation. There is no storehouse down here. There is no tribe of Levi. Our giving is motivated by love. Our pastors are supported, of course they are. Our missionaries are supported, of course they are. But they're supported not by a tenth or a tax. The tithe was a tax. It was required. They didn't do it because they wanted to. They did it because they absolutely had to. It was law. But I'm telling you, it's not law now. There's a change in the law. Because there's a change in the priesthood. Why is the law changed? Because the priesthood changed. They'll never, they talk about that dome of the rock over there and they're going to rebuild the temple. That's a lot of hogwash. That temple's not going to be rebuilt. God's not going to permit it. The sacrifices will never be offered. There's a change in the law. Turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 7. Oh boy, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had any pleasure therein which are offered by the law. God never had any satisfaction in those things. They were temporary. They were types. They were pictures. The blood of an animal can never satisfy the justice of God. The priest offering his intercession can never plead for a sinner effectually before God. That's just a sinner pleading for a sinner. It takes Christ. Christ came. Now watch the next verse. Then said he, lo, I come to do your will, O God. And he taketh away the first. What's the first? All of this law given on Sinai. Every smidgen of it. Every sacrifice, every ceremony, every priest, every building, mercy seat, Sabbath days, tithes, all of these things. Don't reinstitute it. Don't try to resurrect it. Christ fulfilled it. That's changed. All right, read on in Hebrews 7. Priesthood being changed, there's the necessity of change of the law. It all rested on the priest. It all rested on the priest. It's Aaron, the sons of Levi, all of this was carried out by them. They cared for it, built it, sustained it, all these things. When you move him out of the way, you got a conglomeration of nothing, hadn't you? For he, listen, verse 13, he of whom these things were spoken, he pertains to another tribe. Of which no man gave attendance at the altar. There never was a priest from the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah is David's tribe, the king. The tribe of Levi is the priest. And no king ever served as a priest, and no priest ever served as a king. No man ever had those offices. King Uzziah, you remember? Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. King Uzziah was a king, and he tried to be a priest, and God killed him. It is evident, verse 14, our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. But let me tell you, he's the king priest. He's the royal priest. He's prophet, priest, and king. That's how great this man is. Actually, don't return to the beggarly elements. The less is always blessed to the better. I want the better, don't you? I want the best. Especially between me and God. The best, the better. The better covenant, the better sacrifice, the better promises, the better priest. So don't return to these beggarly elements. Don't try to appease God or please God with these Old Testament requests. I know there's people that don't allow you to eat pork. They go back to the Old Testament dietary laws enforced by the priesthood. And there was a reason for those things, the unclean animals and so forth, but everything is to be received with thanksgiving in moderation. But just don't let any man saddle you and put you in bondage to these things again. Don't do it. Don't do it. Christ is our priest. He's fulfilled it all. He's the king priest. Verse 15, it is yet far more evident. For after the similitude of Melchizedek, there riseth another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal ordinance. That's how Aaron was made a priest. God made him a priest by law. Christ Jesus is the priest through the power of an endless life. I tell you who that man was that met Melchizedek. That's Christ. He appeared to Abraham in the flesh and blessed him. Without mother or father, where's such a man? Only one, Christ. Without beginning or end of days, every man's got to have a beginning. But Christ is the Son from heaven. Without ancestors? Oh, that's the King of peace, King of righteousness. But the key of this whole thing, when he blessed Abraham, he blessed him with bread and wine. And that's when he blessed the apostles. He took bread and blessed it and said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. And that's what God says about him, verse 17. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And there is barely a disannulling of the commandment. All the commandments and all. I'm not talking about thou shalt not steal. We're not talking about those commandments. Not talking about those commandments at all. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. So all the, that's not what he's talking about. There's no disannulment of those commandments. It's a disannulment of these Levitical laws and ceremonies and sacrifices. They're done away. Holy days. That's the reason we don't celebrate Easter and Christmas and all these so-called earthly holy days. And the reason we don't have a bunch of symbols around here and I don't wear a robe. Because I'm not anybody special. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a voice in the wilderness. I'm one of the brethren. God told me to preach. And you to listen. And some of you other fellows to preach and me to listen. He's everything. Christ is all in all. Verse 19, the law made nothing perfect. The law never perfected anybody. Never made anything perfect. Never did. Never made anything perfect. I tell you what, the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. Turn to Hebrews 10 again. Verse 18. How do we draw nigh to God? Verse 18. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's us. Where that old high priest once went, the Holy of Holies, that's where we go. Heaven itself, by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, not under the veil, through the veil. He rent it in twain. That is to say, his flesh. And listen, having a high priest over the house of God, who is he? Who's your high priest? I'll answer for you. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's my high priest. He's yours too. Is he yours? Why, certainly he is. You know that. you that have been taught that. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful. We're not. He is. He's faithful that promised it. That's where it all is. He's greater. All right, let's read on. Hebrews 7. And verse 22 says, for so much Jesus was made. Well, let's look at verse 21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this man, with an oath by him that said, who made him the priest? The heavenly Father. The Lord swear and will not repent. You're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety. A surety is a guarantor. You know, when you borrow money from the bank, somebody signs as your guarantor, your surety. You can't pay it. He has to. He's my surety. I can't pay it. He did. He's my surety. But it's a better covenant than that Old Testament, than that covenant of days and sacrifices and works. And they were, verse 23, there were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, and I would exhort you again, but this man, Bob, you preached on that one, but that's the key, but this man, Jesus Christ, our Melchizedek, he hath an unchangeable priesthood, and therefore he's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost forever, evermore, them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. You know, that old high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year. Christ lives there. He's seated there. He's within the veil. He's the forerunner. He ever liveth to make intercession. We have a high priest. Not once a year. All the time. All the time. I've always got someone. If any man sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. There's one mediator between God and men. He's always there. And I'm there in him. Oh, my, he's able to do all that he said. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to raise our vile bodies and make them like his. He's able. And this is the only high priest that really becomes us, can help us. For such a high priest became us who's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Oh, Aaron, he can't help me. He's a man. But Christ is the God-man and made higher than the heavens. And he doesn't need daily, as those priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sin, then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests that have infirmities. But God swore by himself because he could swear by no other. And he made him a priest who's the Son, consecrated forevermore. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Having a high priest, let us come before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. I had a friend who was a missionary to Sudan Interior, Africa, back in the 40s. Sudan Interior. Back in the 40s, there was Africa was a lot different than it is now. There were a lot of lepers still in Africa then. And he told me one time he was on a Sunday afternoon missionary trip into the jungles going to preach to a tribe. And he was walking along this jungle path and some fellas in front of him, some behind him, and as they walked along, they heard a voice up ahead in the native tongue. This voice was crying, help me. Somebody help me. Help me. Somebody help me. And they picked up speed and began to run. And they rounded, he said they rounded a place there in the jungle and came into a clearing, and there sat a leper. If you've ever seen a leper, I've seen one in person down in Mexico, and I've seen some of the missionary films from Africa back then, and it's just a terrible sight that they just decay. Their fingers drop off, their ears, and they're just scaly, white, just terrible looking. And he said this leper was sitting there in the clearing, holding up his arms by himself, just holding up his arms, looking up into the sky. No fingers, no ears, face, just slits for eyes. And he was saying, "Somebody help me." Hopeless, helpless, dying, decaying. Somebody just left him out there, evidently. Cast him out there and left him. And he said, "I stood there and I looked at him. Silence. The men around me were looking at that pitiful." And he said, "I felt this is what God sees when he sees me. The leprosy of the soul." Leprosy in the whole Old Testament is a picture of sin. Leprosy. Leprosy. The lepers were cast out. The lepers weren't touched. Even the shadow of a leper couldn't fall on somebody. "Unclean," they cried. And he said, "I stood there, a young man, strong, healthy, vigorous. And I thought, if I could reach down and take one of his hands in this hand and one in that hand and pick him up and pull his diseased, dying body against mine and let his death and sickness and disease flow into me and my health and strength flow into him and just take his place, how happy he'd be to go his way, strong and well. I couldn't do it." But he said, "Christ did. He came down here where I was, diseased and dying and dead and depraved and wretched on the dunghill. He came down here and took my place and gave me his place. Took my hell and death and sin before God and died in my place, and I've gone my way whole and well because he loved me and gave himself up." That's our great high priest. And that's the gospel, substitution, satisfaction. And don't let anybody talk you into going back under this, rules and regulations and duties and deeds and laws of any type or shape, because all a believer needs is Christ, motivated by his grace and his love. And you'll do what needs to be done. You'll have works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. And you'll give and you'll help others. And you'll see the cause and you'll furnish the means. But not because you have to. Not because you have to, but you want to. He's great, isn't he? All right, we'll pick up there tonight, the Lord willing, in chapter 8. Talk some more about him.